Morning to turn to the book of Romans, chapter 1. Be reading verses 18 through 32. Very familiar passage of Scripture. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through verse 32. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man, and to birds, and the four-footed beast, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use unto that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet or fit. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. The subject of these verses is established in verse 18, the wrath of God. This, of course, is not a very popular subject with the secular world, nor is it a popular subject with the religious world. What we read here in our text is a graphic description of the nation, the society, the culture, and the times in which we live. What we read here tells us what is wrong with our nation. It tells us what is wrong in our society. It tells us what is wrong in our culture. What we read here helps us understand what is happening right before our eyes. Not only helps us to understand what is happening, helps us to understand why it is happening. As you read through these verses, what is very, very clear is cause and effect and the cycle and progression of sin resulting in the wrath of God. What we read here was not written to discourage God's people. It was written to challenge us, to encourage us, to strengthen the people of God, to strengthen the Lord's churches to steadfastness and perseverance. I want to speak this morning on living in an age of abandonment. living in an age of abandonment. Again, the subject and the theme of what we have read here is the wrath of God. We want to consider some things concerning this subject. First of all, we have the fact of the wrath of God. We read in verse 18, "For the wrath of God." That little word "of" speaks of the fact that wrath is a characteristic. It is a distinctive quality of God. The wrath of God. It is something that belongs to God. This wrath of God, Deuteronomy 29 and 24, is referred to as the heat of His great anger. In Isaiah 30 and verse 30, it is referred to as the indignation of His anger. In Isaiah 43 and 25, the fury of His anger. Hosea 11 and verse 9, it is referred to as the fierceness of His anger. From those verses, it is plain that the wrath of God is closely connected with another characteristic and distinctive quality of God, His anger. His anger. Which simply means His resentful displeasure. Strong antagonism, stirred by a sense of injury or insult. Throughout the Scriptures, the wrath of God, to me, seems to be the display of God's anger. So we read here, "For the wrath of God," which speaks of the display of His anger. Secondly, this wrath of God is something that is displayed. Verse 18, again, it's very important that you follow along in Romans 1. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven." That is, the wrath of God is uncovered. It is unveiled. It is made known. The fact is, God possesses wrath. And the fact is that wrath is displayed. Thirdly, we want to consider the object of the wrath of God. Again, notice verse 18. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against or upon all ungodliness," which is the absence of reverence toward God. That's what ungodliness is. It's simply the absence of reverence toward God. "And unrighteousness," which of course is the absence of that which is right, which would be anything contrary to God's word, is unrighteous. The unrighteousness of men who hold, and that word "hold" means suppress, hinder, and hold back the truth. And how did they do this? In unrighteousness. In their ways of unrighteousness. So this is speaking of those who are constantly attempting to suppress the truth by their ungodliness and their unrighteousness. So far, we have seen that wrath is a characteristic and a quality of God. That this wrath is indeed unveiled, and we have seen the object of this wrath is the ungodliness and unrighteousness of those who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Fourthly, there are different aspects of the wrath of God. There is the eternal wrath of God, which is damnation in hell. There is what I will call eschatological wrath of God, which is the wrath that is unveiled during what is known as the tribulation period. There is what we call cataclysmic wrath of God. Volcanoes, hurricanes, earthquakes, the flood, Sodom and Gomorrah. This is the wrath of God that most think about when they think of the wrath of God. But that's only one facet of the wrath of God. Our text reveals another facet. And I believe it's the most common. One that is most often overlooked. The wrath of abandonment. When God leaves a people to themselves, nothing good can come from that. And that will result in the end in the cataclysmic wrath of God. This facet of God's wrath is stated three times in our text. Notice verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up. This is the wrath of God. God gave them up. Verse 26. For this cause, God gave them up. Verse 28. And God gave them over to a reprobate mind. So this facet of the wrath of God is when God turns his back upon a people. You say, God would never do that. Read your Bible. It's all through the Word of God. It is when God turns his back upon a people. When God turns his back upon a nation and a society. But it's more than just God turning his back. It is God leaving them to themselves. This is a form of the wrath of God. It is spoken of throughout the scriptures. It is seen in the example of Samson. Judges chapter 16. It is declared to Israel over and over. Judges chapter 10 and verse 13, ye have forsaken me and served other gods. Wherefore I will deliver you no more. Gave them up. That is the wrath of God. Proverbs chapter 1. Let's turn there. Keep a mark there in Romans chapter 1. Proverbs 1, verses 24. Through 31, we'll read very quickly. Because I have called and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. All those people who say, oh, if you just seek, you'll find. Well, that's not what this says. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way. He's turned them to themselves. Left them to themselves, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools will destroy them. That's this facet of the wrath of God that we look at here in Romans chapter 1. It's also spoken of in Hosea 4 and verse 17. God declared, Ephraim is joined to idols, and then he said, let him alone. Leave him alone. I've turned him over to himself. It is this wrath of abandonment that Jesus referred to in Matthew 15 and 14, speaking of the Pharisees. He said, let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. But what was the Lord's instruction? Let them go. Leave them alone. Because God is leaving them to themselves. This wrath of God that we read of in Romans chapter 1 is where we are as a nation and as a society. The wrath of abandonment and being left to self is the cycle of history. You can read it in history books. You can certainly read it in the Word of God. Paul referred to this in Acts chapter 14 and verse 16. He said, who in times past, speaking of God, suffered or permitted all nations to walk in their own ways. And that history repeats itself over and over. Our text is perhaps the most graphic and comprehensive discourse on this aspect of the wrath of God. That brings us to our fifth point, the reason. The reason for this wrath. We see in verse 18 that he states the fact of the wrath of God. States the fact that it is revealed, against ungodliness and unrighteousness in men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. After presenting that fact, the very next word, verse 19, because. What follows that word is a reason. It is the reason for the unveiling of the wrath of God. Because, for this reason, the wrath of God is revealed. Paul then proceeds to give the reasons, or the causes, of this aspect of the wrath of God. To introduce the reasons, he begins by stating in verses 19 and 20 that there has been a revelation and an unveiling of God and His ways. And because of this, they, mankind, are without excuse. Man, nation, society, and the world has to do something with the revelation that they have of God. Verse 21, after stating the fact that there has been a revelation of God, a revelation of God's truth, you realize that being under the hearing of the truth of God puts you in more danger? Because what you do with it, you reject it. This wrath of God, you may find yourself in this cycle that we see in Romans chapter 1. So after mentioning the fact of a revelation from God, verse 21, he says again, because, referring back to that they are without excuse, and referring back to or picking up with that first because in verse 19. Because that when they knew God, as a result of the revelation, they glorified Him not as God. They did not acknowledge Him. They did not worship Him as God. Neither, that would mean in addition to not acknowledging God, neither were thankful. They turned from and rejected the revelation of God. The reason for this wrath of God is their rejection. Their rejection of God. But it doesn't stop there. This rejection of God leads to an effect. And this effect would become the next cause and the next reason for the wrath of God. So you see, it just doesn't stop. You reject God. You reject a message from God. You reject a truth from God. It doesn't stop there. That's true of individuals. That's true of nations. It's true of society. It does not stop there. It will lead to an effect. And that effect will lead to the next cause or reason for the furtherance of the wrath of God. Now notice verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. And then notice the next effect. But became vain, empty, futile, in their imaginations, in their thinking. So this rejection of God has an effect upon our thinking. That's true again of individuals, it's true of nations. And then notice what it says. And their foolish, thoughtless hearts were darkened. Why? Because of their rejection of God, their hearts and minds are now immersed with darkness, which would lead in a furtherance of this wrath, which would bring about the next effect, which we find in verse 22. Professing themselves to be wise, that is, in their own minds, they see themselves as evolving intelligence. It would be funny if it were not so sad. People, you see them on the news, and they think they're the most intelligent things that have ever walked this earth. Professing themselves to be wise. That is, in their own minds, they are evolving in intelligence. Now, I know some would disagree, but I believe that we have been going backwards in intelligence for a long time. For a long time. You can call it the enlightened society if you want to, but it's far from it. But professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Now let me give you some modern day synonyms for the word fools. Professing themselves to be wise, they became morons. Professing themselves to be wise, they became idiots. Professing themselves to be wise, they become imbeciles, nitwits, dingbats, numbskulls. We could go on and on. You get the idea. Man rejects God. As a result, their thoughts and hearts are affected. They begin to exalt their own intelligence, and they become morons. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And in their professed wisdom, they spew such philosophies as truth is relative and subjective. That there is no right. There is no wrong. We must be tolerant of the abominable. You know, they've changed the definition of tolerant. tolerant means that I will not mistreat someone because of their lifestyle. I won't mistreat them. I won't attack them. But that's not what tolerance means today. Tolerance today means approval and acceptance. Where does this come from? Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. This is where these things come from. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and now wrong is defended. That which is an abomination is defended, and that which is right and decent and God-honoring is mocked, it is ridiculed, and it is attacked. This is the result of professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Where does it stop? It doesn't. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And now we have same-sex marriages. Now we live in a me society that is completely immersed with an entitlement attitude. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And now people are under the control of their baser instincts. And now we have something lower than barnyard morality. People are doing things that animals don't do. Professing themselves to be wise. By the way, that tells me the animal has more sense than the people. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And now the murder of babies is called choice. Folks, these people are idiots. You say, oh, that's cruel. That's what it says. They're dingbats. They're morons. And what is sad is they run for office and they vote. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And now we have, as a result, the dysfunctional is the norm. Now we have, as a result, political correctness, which is an attack upon the very essence of our nation. And it stifles liberty and common sense by simply redefining words. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And now we have a government that cannot function in the realm of common sense. They can't do it. You say, oh, I just wish they would come to their senses. It's not going to happen. Because we're under this wrath of God. They have been abandoned by God. Left to themselves. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And now, morality, decency, and honesty, for the most part, are things in the past. All of this leads to the next effect, which becomes the next cause of the wrath of God. Becoming fools, verse 23, they create their own gods. You see, rejection of God always leads to a replacement of God. That's true individually, it's true of nations, it's true. Anytime there is a rejection of God, there is a replacement for God. Now we want to look at the evidence and progression of this wrath, and it's seen in verses 24 through verse 32. First word in verse 24 is that word, wherefore. That is, for this reason, referring back to the fact that they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, and they chose to honor other things in the place of God, God also gave them up. Again, the wrath of God spoken of in this portion of Scripture is when God leaves a people, a society, a nation to themselves. It is God letting them go to the uninterrupted cause and effect that their sinful choices will produce. You ever look at an individual who just makes one foolish decision after another spiritually? It's what you have here. Cause and effect, cause and effect. Again, we see here in verse 24 through 32, there's a vicious cycle of sin. Verses 24 through 32 reveal that sin is the reason for the wrath of God. And that sin results in more sin, which produces the next effect, which produces the next cause of this wrath of God. So we see that in verses 24 through 32, sin is the cause, sin is the consequence of this wrath of God. When a people, a nation, a society is under this wrath of God, there is a downward spiral. There is a slippery slope. Things are out of control. It is a result of this wrath of abandonment. And we are witnessing this before our very eyes. It's what is happening. I mentioned several things here in verses 24 through 32. He mentioned sexual immorality. Verse 24, it says, God also gave them up to uncleanness, impurity, and defilement through the lust of their own hearts. That is, God left them to their own hearts in their own thinking. He left them to act out their own depraved passions and inclinations. And when man is left to act out his own depraved inclinations, nothing good can come from that. Nothing. To dishonor, to disgrace their own bodies between or among themselves. Now this effect of sexual immorality leads to further rejection of God, verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. You know, lost people today and many professing Christians look at what's happening and say, what in the world is going on? Right here, Romans chapter 1 is what is happening. We're living in the very midst of it. Romans chapter 1. Next thing we see is degradation. Verse 26, verse 27. For this cause, that is on account of what has just been said, for this cause, because they have become fools in their thinking. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. And he goes on, he describes homosexuality. You see, those who profess themselves to be wise and have become fools, they call it an alternative lifestyle. But God refers to it here as vile, as unseemly. Then notice verse 28. We have to hurry up. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over. There it is again. You see, this wrath of God just keeps happening to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. God gives them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not proper. What does it mean to be reprobate? Well, first of all, it means to be abandoned. A reprobate mind is a mind that has been abandoned by God. It is a mind devoid of God. A reprobate mind is really a useless mind. It is a mind that has lost its ability to think. Look at our nation. Large segments of our nation has lost their ability to think. They have lost their ability to reason.
and to comprehend. You know what's sad about a reprobate mind? It can't find its way back. Can't find its way back. Our nation today cannot find its way back. Reprobate minds. These are the results of the wrath of God, which leads to the next effect, which becomes the next cause. We see in verses 29 through 31, we're immersed in filth. This is the effect of all of these things. It is like somebody has opened the sewer of sin and let it run through the streets. And you read verses 29, we're running out of time, but you read verses 29 through 31. This is a result of man being left to himself. But then notice verse 32. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. When man is left to himself, not only will he sin, but there will be the approval of sin. There will be the acceptance of sin. There will be the promotion of sin. There are a lot of things today that perhaps in the past there weren't a whole lot wrong with. But because we live in Romans 1, there's everything wrong with it today. There is no TV program that a child of God can watch or should watch. The commercials alone. It's getting where if a child of God has convictions, they're not going to be able to attend state universities. Already, many of them, you have to sign an agreement of tolerance. Keep in mind their definition of tolerance. You say, well, I know the real definition and I'll go ahead and sign it. Well, you wouldn't have made Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, because they could have said, well, we can just bend down. We know what we mean. It's getting to that point. How a child of God can sign those papers is beyond me. Well, they got to go to school. Where's that in chapter and verse? Chapter and verse, please. It's not there. It's something we've bought into. And who did we buy it from? Those who profess themselves to be wise, they have become fools. It's bad enough to buy a bad product. It's even more foolish to buy it from a fool. Though the world may revel in these things that are mentioned in verses 29 and 31, and the world glamorizes these things, I don't believe that we ought to patronize anyone who glamorizes these things. God's word describes them as evil. They're filthy. They're wicked. They're vile, wretched, despicable, repulsive, disgusting, and abominable. We have to reject it. Perhaps there is no sadder evidence of an abandoned society under God's wrath and when that society will not tolerate people being against sin. We're not going to be put up with much longer. Churches have web pages. Messages are on those web pages. We're not going to be tolerated much longer. It is no longer politically correct or acceptable to be against sin. It is no longer politically correct to call sin, sin. A society that has been left to itself, and man that has been left to himself, has taken our nation, has taken our society and culture into the mire and into the muck of sin. Overall, things are not going to get better in society because we're in this cycle of Romans 1. Oh, God, in His mercy, may send us a reprieve. He's done that throughout our history. But I personally believe, that we are so deep in this cycle, you can just forget about reprieves also. You can just forget about it. That's my own personal opinion, for what it's worth. Things aren't going to get better in society and the world. But the Lord's churches and the Lord's people can be revived. Amen. But society and the world has been left to themselves. How strange we are. A people that has not been left by God, living in the midst of a people who have been left. If you fit in with people that have been left by God, I would give that serious thought. God's wrath is not pending. Oh, His cataclysmic wrath is pending. But God's wrath is not pending. We're in it. The wrath of God, the wrath of abandonment. The question is, what do we do? Do we need new Bibles, new translations? Do we need to scrap the old songs for the contemporary? Do we need to lighten up on preaching? Do we need to lower our standards in order to accommodate the world? You know how low you have to make your standards to accommodate today's world? Do we have to lower our standards to make them feel good about themselves? The answer to all those questions is no. It's not our duty to make God acceptable. It is our duty to declare Him as He is. It is not our duty to make the Word of God acceptable. It is our duty to declare the Word of God. It's our duty to do the business of the Lord. We must not embrace the ways and the philosophies of a world that has been abandoned by God. We must not allow our minds to become clouded in their philosophies. It's a shame today, but if we were to make close examination, every one of us, our thoughts to some degree have been affected by those that have been abandoned by God. This is a time to repent and get right with God and do the business of the Lord. We cannot allow biblical convictions, which is pretty rare today. We cannot allow biblical convictions to be weakened. People do things today they didn't do 5 years ago. We must not resign ourselves to the status quo. You realize what the status quo is? You want to resign yourself to the status quo? We must make a clear distinction in our lives, in our families, in our churches. There must be a distinction. We cannot afford to be cold. We cannot afford to be careless. We cannot afford to be lax and indifferent. We cannot afford to be discouraged. There's far too much at stake for us to become these things. In a society under the wrath of God's abandonment, we need to be a people of boldness. We need to be a people of courage. We need to be a people of backbone. We need to be a people of fortitude and resolve and steadfastness and determination and perseverance. It's not, how are we going to make it? You just do what you're supposed to do and leave the rest with God. Amen. When will we learn? We must realize that the devil, that the enemies and the haters and the despisers of God have been left to themselves, and they are on a rampage and a mission of destruction. And we happen to live in the midst of it all. Oh, that we would realize that we live in a society under the wrath of God's abandonment. And that God would cause us to realize that we have a responsibility. And that God would cause us to realize that very, very, very soon we're going to be carried out of this mess. Won't be long. Won't be long. But until then, we have a duty. Until then, we have a duty to serve the one who saved our soul. And oh, I pray. I do believe, and people laugh and people get scared, but I do believe that it's just around the corner we're going to find out what's real and what isn't as far as Christianity. We're going to find out very soon who's serious. And people today are worried about growing bigger churches. I got news for you, they're going to get small. Because there's going to be a thinning out. Persecution always does that. It thins out the pretenders, the mere religious. God help us. God help us to realize that we live in the midst of a mess. And none of us can fix it. Because it's a vicious cycle of sin. But we have a responsibility to stand. Just like Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego and Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel. And on we could go. We have a responsibility. And to me, we ought to be more determined than we've ever been. Don't misidentify the enemy. That is one of Satan's greatest tactics. Misidentify the enemy. The world is the enemy. The world is the enemy. God's people who are serious about serving God are not the enemy. Oh, you may not agree with everything they do, but they're not the enemy. Those who profess themselves to be wise and become fools. Those who are filling their children's minds with filth. That's the enemy. Amen. Not the preacher who preaches the truth. He's not the enemy. Amen. It's the professors in the colleges. That's where the work of the enemy is being done. Oh, don't misidentify the enemy. Don't get on the wrong side. Remember, God challenged Israel. Who is on the Lord's side? And what did they have to do? They had to raise up and slay their own family. You have to do that. I'm not talking literally. You have to take a stand. Even if it costs you your friends. Even if it costs you your mom and your dad and grandma and grandpa. You stand. These are serious times. and we had better wake up. We had better wake up. Because you and I can live in this world and we can rejoice in God. Our hearts can be filled with joy. We can have a great spiritual time. You don't have to get down in the dumps. We can have a great time. God help us to draw close to the Lord. Brother Larry, if you'd come, lead us in verse 7.